The following program is intended for mature audiences.
He's standing in front of the net with about 8 inches of his shaft in his hand.
What do you say we have a rock and roll party?
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Podcast was this.
I'm not dumb like they are, so I'm not going to say their name and give them the free publicity. But it was a show that Tank was on, and he had put it up. I think I saw it on Facebook. He was like, I'm on this podcast. And I thought, I'll give it a listen. So I tuned in.
Oh, yeah. This is the one where you were like, I'm not crazy, right? Like, we're better than this.
I would certainly hope so. So
I have not gotten around to checking that out.
I tuned it in, okay? I thought, okay, I'll see what Frank's got to say here. And right away, let me set this up a little bit. Going all the way back to my days in radio, I've got this really hyper-competitive gear that strikes sometimes where I want to crush anything that I think is a threat or competition to whatever I'm doing. And for some reason, these guys struck that nerve in me. When I heard them talking, it sounded like, well, they were like, this is like, you know, hello, welcome to our show. And it sounded like they were talking from a box, which was bad enough, bad sound quality. And then they had a sponsor, Travelocity. And that just fried my ass for some reason. Now, granted, we've never tried to get a sponsor. That's not really what we do. We're not about that, whatever.
We also don't put out a lot of publicity for ourselves. We just kind of do our thing. We haven't tried to.
I told like my three closest friends, my parents, and my aunt and uncle about this show. That's about as much as I put into it.
Well, that was my thing.
We just do it for ourselves.
Exactly.
Like our waves or anything.
But for some reason, listening to these guys and having our friend Tank on there, it just pissed me off. And I said, these guys are hacks, and I must say something about this. So I did. It just irked me for some reason. And I probably should apologize a little bit to them because I'm sure they're just a couple of kids trying to get started. But it was awful. It was just so bad. And the one part of it that just cracked me up and killed me at the same time, they've got Tank on there. You know they're trying to get him riled up because in their eyes, getting Tank riled up equals good radio, which is complete bullshit, but whatever.
Are you freaking serious?
Shit. We know how to get Tank riled up.
Sure.
Those people are fucking amateurs when it comes to getting Frank Fleming riled up.
Yeah, no kidding. We know how.
It's actually deceptively easy.
We've got 10, 12 years of practice at it. So, But one of them, Tank was going on about something. I don't remember. It was so hard to listen to it and really kind of pick up on what was going on. But Tank's doing like this completely, you can just tell, it's completely manufactured, his rant. It wasn't legit. He wasn't really upset. And this guy goes, Frankie on the ledge. And I went, oh, fuck me. Are you serious with this shit? And that's when I just went off on him because I just couldn't take it anymore. Every time Tank would say something like, oh, here he goes. Here he goes. Look out. Here he goes. And I thought, oh, my God. That's how that all happened. I just thought I'd explain myself. And I figured they're going to be tuning in to see if we say anything about it. So, yeah, I'm saying something about it. You still suck. We're still better than you. As Zach pointed out, we make absolutely no effort whatsoever to get listeners, and we still have more fucking listeners than you do. So there, what do you think about that?
My justification for my lack of effort on my part to get ourselves out there is that it kind of just seems like a whole thing.
Well, my excuse is a little shorter than that. I'm just lazy.
Mine's basically the Yiddish way of saying I'm lazy.
I just do this for fun.
Right, like, exactly. Yeah. We never went into it with any thoughts of doing anything other than having some fun. If the people on the boards wanted to listen, great, and that was the end of it. And I don't know what it was. Like I said, I've just got this hyper-competitive thing about stuff like that, and for some reason, it just struck me wrong when I listened to them. And I was actually very kind, because usually I'm a lot nastier about this kind of shit.
I'll say up front, I haven't listened to this yet. Believe it or not, I've been meaning to. It's just been a time thing. But if what you're saying is accurate, that's just... I'm not even trying to start a fight with anyone. I'm just saying, generally speaking, if you got someone like Tank who's primarily known for a rant and like you try to manufacture that, unlike you guys, I've never been in a field in the media field professionally. So but I've got to think that when you try to manufacture something like that, it just comes across obvious, like very obvious that you're trying to manufacture.
That's what really fried my ass about it, was when you have to sit there and go, oh, this is crazy. Oh, here we go. Oh, this is crazy. It's not, and it never is. But anyway, so I didn't know if you guys had seen it. I thought I would just take a moment to explain myself and tell you.
At this point, you know, them trying to just get Frank on to prod him.
Right.
Is like, you missed the boat on that. If you were going to do it, you do what Barstool did, and you did it like the day after. But
yeah.
And Barstool's also, I mean, not that Barstool's exactly reputable, but they have a more of a following than.
Well, and I think part of it too, and it maybe just a little bit of me was kind of like, they're picking on our kid brother, and I didn't like that, if that makes any sense. Like, we can pick on Tank because we've known him forever, but you guys don't get to do that. I don't know. It was just a weird thing, but that's what happened. So if anybody's wondering, that was just my my old radio alter ego coming through there. And what can I say? They told me that in 5 years they'll be where we are. And I thought, boy, if you can't do any better than that in 5 years, you might want to hang it up. And look, I'm certainly not trying to make it sound like I'm backing away from what I think of us as being way better than they are. I'm certainly not doing that at all. I'm with you guys. It's fun. You know, if people, I even told them, I said, if people listen, great. If not, oh, well. We do it because we enjoy getting together once a week and just talking about whatever comes up. There's no planning, which, you know, you can knock us for that if you want to. I don't care. Fuck off if you do. And, you know, we just do what we do. And people seem to enjoy it. We've got a strong, steady listenership that enjoys the show. And really, we're kind of a boutique podcast anyway. We don't specifically aim it at the Creamer boards, but it's a lot of it. That's our home base. That's where 80% of our audience comes from. So whatever. I didn't like them manufacturing fake radio, doing it poorly, and doing it with someone that I knew. And it just pissed me off, and it struck that chord in me that makes me want to go out and just destroy them and leave nothing but a smoldering heap of motherboards laying in their wake. But what are you going to do? I guess we should probably talk about the Anaheim Ducks a little bit, right?
It's been a curious 72 hours for both the Anaheim Ducks and the Edmonton Oilers.
Can I just say something?
I've been put up and put down so much over the weekend over this stupid hockey team.
I got to tell you that after the game, was it Saturday? What night was the comeback? Friday?
Friday
after the comeback.
The comeback on Capella.
I put together, I watched it, and then again I watched the highlights, and I thought, you know, there was one defining moment in the hockey game that made all the difference. That if this doesn't happen, we're not even talking about this today. And I was all set. I'm like, this is going to be great on the show Monday. The Ducks are going to go out and close this thing out on Sunday, and that'll be that, and blah, 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 and I'll look like a genius. Well, guess what? Then they went out, and what was the final? 7-1. I quit watching after a while.
7-1. Five goals in the first period.
Yeah.
Five goals in the first period. I think it was 6-0 before we finally scored. So
it was
game six, man.
I felt so bad for John Gibson that first goal because you could see, and I forgot who scored for Edmonton,
Draisaitl.
Okay, so he's coming in.
Draisaitl, the guy that fucking must shut down Connor McDavid. Ryan Kessler, go eat him. Well, it's been all year, even in the regular season, it's been Leon fucking Draisaitl.
Who's just killed the Ducks.
I'm sorry, but doesn't he sound like a character in an Adam Sandler like Hanukkah song?
Leon, well, he's German.
Okay. Oh, well, maybe
he's
not.
He's known as the German Gretzky.
there's something to aspire to, I guess.
But I just saw he's coming in, and you can tell like Gibson's playing him perfectly. He knows exactly where he's going to put the puck. But then some Anaheim defenseman, you know, kind of hooks Draisaitl, and because of that, he actually gets off a really weak shot. But Gibson's already committed to the shot he thinks is coming, and so it kind of just slides under him helplessly. And as a goalie myself, who has had a very contentious relationship with his defenseman over the years, I was just like, oh, I feel that so badly.
That's basically like if, you know, I played catcher in baseball, and that's like you call for a fastball and the guy throws the changeup. It fucks your whole world up, you know, because you're expecting one thing. And I saw Henrik Lundqvist getting on his defenseman. Was it yesterday? They play yesterday? I've watched so much as I've lost track of what Saturday. He was up on their asses about it. And so I think, who was it? Somebody came over and said, dude, back off a little bit. But
Derek Stepan's like, hey, Henrik, calm down a little bit, man.
I'll tell you who the Rangers need currently to sue everything over. They really need Phil Kessel on their team because he'd be like, it's not his fault, guys, okay? It's not his fault.
Yeah, but...
So, Zach, okay, I want to know, this is like, it seems like, I know at least since the show has been going on, that we seem to get to this point every year with your guys. We get to that point where they can close it out with a game six.
This is the fifth year of us doing the show, so they've done it the last 4 years. So, yeah, it's been every year. Every year that we've been talking, they've been,
we've talked about the game sevens extensively because of the massive disappointments they've been in those. What is it? Why can't they get up and close out a game six when they have a chance like this? I don't remember if every season they've had a chance to close it out in game six and had to go to seven, or if they had to, like, I know there was a couple times they had to win a game six to get it to seven, right?
It's been this every single
year.
Up 3-2 every damn year.
Oh, man.
And that was my problem, because it's always, well, because everyone focuses on the game sevens because it's, you know, such a spectacular thing and all that, or so I'm told. That game sevens are the best things in sports. I've yet to find that to be the case.
I've always stood by the game sevens are the ones that get all the love, but the game sixes are really where all the great drama happens. And if you go back and look, you're going to find that to be the case most of the time. But anyway.
I don't know. I thought that this was going to be a different time, too, where they decided, you know what? We have the opportunity this time. Let's go fucking do it. And instead, they played with the same malaise, I guess, that they played the last couple game sixes, where it's, I mean, this one obviously the worst of all of them, but to me, what it seems like their attitude is, okay, we're up 3-2, we're going on the road, you know, it's going to be a tough environment, but we still have an extra game to play, so if we lose, no big deal, we can come back and do it in game seven.
And then game seven, just tears.
Right. And so you would think, after 4 years of this nonsense, that they would say, oh, maybe we should go, you know, get right off it from the start. And, you know, they say all the right things, and they just didn't show up. You know, the thing that, of course, was hilarious to me was the Ducks actually dressed seven defensemen in that game, but it looked like none of them were there because two of the first three goals were breakaways.
Well,
they just looked lost through the entirety of that first period.
Some guy, I thought, had the tweet of the night. This is a real 80s throwback game. Oilers scoring at will, and Anaheim doesn't have an NHL team.
That's rough. I just don't understand it, because this is a team that we saw. At one point, they were up against the Oilers. The Oilers stormed back with that comeback, tied the game, and the Ducks just said, screw you. Hit the pedal and ended up winning 6-3. And then we've got the same team that was down, 3-0? Yeah.
3-0.
Scored three goals with three and change left in the game, yep. Right?
Yep.
They go to double overtime and win it on a Corey Perry goal. And I think this team, they've finally figured it out. They know what's going on here. It's just a matter of going to game six and finishing this deal off now, because there's no way that this team, now they have found that gear that I always talk about. They had found it. It was there, right there, on the gear shift, ready to go. And I don't know what the hell happened.
I was going to ask for Zach. You actually answered preemptively what I was going to ask was, do you think it's sort of a false safety net kind of feel where they think, oh, you know, we've got two chances to close this out.
Yeah, but they of all teams should never think that, ever.
Especially after 4 years of it happening, they would.
I know.
But
I know, and it's not like the team's, well, like there's some younger players on the team this year, but it's been relatively the same team for the past 3-4 years. And it just, like, you would think, I mean, Carlisle says that in his interviews afterwards when people were asking about the game sevens, you know, like, I wasn't here for that. This is a different team to me than the other ones. And it's like, okay, if it was that much different, then they wouldn't have lost 7-1 in a game where they could have advance to the Western Conference Final. Like, it's, I don't have a lot of confidence.
I've got something that I think might raise your spirits, maybe. Just sort of my take on everything. You saw, okay, this Oilers team had a 2-0 series lead at one point. They had that game that Greg mentioned where, you know, they came storming back and then Anaheim shut them down anyway. And then you had that game where Anaheim came back, scored three goals and then won it in overtime. I think a game like this, after everything that that's happened, was inevitable, not because the Ducks went out and threw a game away, but because, honestly, this is a young Oilers team. This is a young Oilers team that knows they've had chances to put the series away before this, and they know that they've blown it. And I think a lot of this was frustration showing through. And basically, you had a young, frustrated team that just kind of came out and exploded and put up five goals in one period. And I think that is sort of the emotional roller coaster you're going to have when you have a team as young as this Oilers team. And the good news for the Ducks is that I don't think it's necessarily indicative of anything going forward. If anything, it might be a case where maybe the Oilers used up all of their mojo, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't know. I just think this is the case of an Oilers team that was frustrated, that came out swinging, and they did what they needed to do, but unfortunately for them, they did it in a game that tied the series instead of win the series for them.
Well, so. But the question I have is, okay, and that's all perfectly legitimate. I agree with all of that, but you still got John Gibson letting up how many goals in the first? Five?
He let up three.
Three and before they yanked him? Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's my thing with this.
He looked bad on those goals, and like Mike said, the first one is kind of a weird one, but all three goals were scored five hole or directly under the pad. So
yeah, I almost want to think that maybe that first goal that was kind of fluky maybe got in his head and he really just wasn't feeling comfortable with his stick on the ice and he kind of, yeah. I mean, look, the five players aim for the five hole because it is there's no shortcuts to blocking that off. It's just a matter of reflex, and if you're not as quick as the guy shooting the puck, it's going to go in. And if your confidence in that, in your ability to protect that five hole is shaken, your stick's not going to feel as sturdy on the ice, and you're going to doubt yourself, and you're going to doubt yourself for a split second. You're not going to react as quickly, and well, that kind of thing happens. So I almost think that maybe that first goal just kind of being so fluky maybe shook him a bit.
I just, you know, going forward, I mean, we've heard a lot of it's not the same team, and that's fair. But we wanted to blame this on Bruce Boudreau the past few years because it seemed like he was the common denominator. But now they're doing the exact same thing without him.
Let's not let him off completely. Let's not let him off completely. We all saw what he did this playoffs.
Yeah. Right. But what I'm saying is, though, is that, it, you know, you've still got Getzlaf, Perry, Kessler, I think, has been there for all 4 years, right?
He's been there for three of them.
Fowler, Vatanen, those guys are all, I mean, they've been around for at least a couple of years, I know of for sure.
Fowler's been there for all of them. Vatanen's been there for three, Lindholm for three.
That's about the extent of the guys I can name from the Ducks off the top of my head.
John Gibson's been there for... he started that Kings series 3 years ago,
right?
But he wasn't with the team for the majority of the year, so two and a half.
But like, you've got your captain, and Getzlaf has been there for all of it. You know,
who has been their best player by far and away, and even he looked like garbage on Sunday.
But my concern is that going into this, you've got your name players: Perry, Getzlaf, Fowler. You know those guys.
Yeah.
You know, here we go again. Now, maybe the young guys won't be thinking that, but you need your leaders to be your leaders now, and they've got to do something and go, look, we cannot let this happen again. And the saddest part to me is that we joked about it last year when they went out in the first round. We're like, okay, we've reset the cycle because it was all the way to the conference final.
Yeah, by now, the way, this is round two.
Second round, they're right on schedule, yeah. I mean,
I hadn't even thought about that until somebody was like, one, two, three, one,
yep.
two, question mark? I said, no. We
talked last year. Okay, they're finally this. You know, they'll lose the conference final, or 2 years ago, they'll lose the conference final. They'll finally get there and lose the cup in seven. But no, they reverted back to losing in round one, and now we're back to round two again. I don't know. But all that being said and done, I have more confidence in them going into this one than I have in any of the other ones. Because of what they did in the game where Edmonton came back and then the three-goal comeback in 3 minutes. They know what they can do. They've just got to go out and do it. I'm going to write yesterday's game off as just a fluke. Just like we would have had.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the only way you can look at it. You can't look at it as some sort of collapse or, oh, my God, here go the same old Ducks again. You could easily, because God knows it's certainly historically accurate, or at least it fits the pattern, I should say. But I think they'll be okay. I really do. I think that.
Right.
But this Edmonton team, though, like Mike said, and I've been joking about it all along, they're just dumb enough to win this thing. They don't know any better.
They're fast. They're fast, and they can get on you pretty quick. And when the Ducks just kind of allow them into the zone, like they've done a couple in the first two games specifically, and then in Sunday's game, where they just kind of back off the blue line, let them enter the zone, then you're going to be in for a rough time. But when the Ducks are able to kind of slow the game down a little bit and establish themselves, which they've done in the other games, then it's fine. And you look back at the Oilers' first series, and they were the ones that lost the game 7-0 to the Sharks, came back the very next game like it never happened, and right. Things were okay. And so that's where I take a little bit of had this been, you know, a game where we had blown a lead or we had made an almost miraculous comeback and lost, then that would be something else. But because it's 7-0 and because it was just so bad, it's easier to say like this was, you can write this off, like just forget about it.
Well,
you're not gonna play that bad ever again.
I think too that if you're down 3 goals, that's one thing. When you get down 5, not too many teams come back from 5 goals down. Because the other team's in the position. The other team's in the position now where they can play, I guess, whatever the hockey equivalent is, like a four corners. They just, all you got to do is kill clock at that point. You've got a 5-goal lead. Just keep things moving, keep the clock moving, and don't do anything stupid, and you'll cruise home to a win.
And another thing I was thinking of last night with that game was, as far as the Oilers go about, you know, the fears of blowing another lead go, like 6 goals is, well, it's double three. And I think at a certain point, if you're down, I mean, obviously you don't want to give up on the game, but I think at a certain point the Ducks, they gave up on the game, because
I think when it got to be 5-0, that's what happened. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you're down 7-1 and you're like, all right, maybe if we get a few quick goals, we can jump back in this thing. And then you're looking and then you realize, oh shit, we've only got 2 minutes left. And you're like, we are not scoring 6 goals in 2 minutes. It's over, guys.
Yeah. I think when it hit 5-0, that's the point where they just kind of thought there isn't going to be a miraculous comeback. It's coming back from 5, even with that much time, it's just hard to do.
Well, when it was 5-0, I thought, okay, if they can score early, then they can have an opportunity to hang around. And then Edmonton scored in the first 2 minutes of the period, and it was 6-0, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Nope. This, now it's done. Now any sort of like miraculous comeback ideas are being silly at that point.
If the 5th goal didn't do it, the 6th goal certainly did, where they just said, that's it, we're screwed. We're not going to win this game. So then you skate around, you try not to get hurt, and you live to fight another day.
Yeah, skate around, try to limit your minutes, just, you know, move on to Wednesday, because you know you're there. And we're there, so we'll
see. Get his bearings back, and hopefully, you just hope to God, and I hate to do this, Zach, but you know it's part of the business here. You hope to God that Gibson, that this is like the thing where he just, you know, you lose your confidence for a game, but you don't want it to be one of those where all of a sudden you don't have time to work this out. This isn't happening in February or January where you've got a few games you can, okay, I can work this out. No, you got to get it back right now.
Well, even so, I think he's done a good job of bouncing back, even in these playoffs, in this series, from a subpar game. Like, say, even against Calgary, the Ducks had to make another similar comeback in Game 3. And in that same game, they had pulled Gibson, came back in Game 4, and played very well. Only let up the 1 goal. I think it was in, like, the second period. I forget when they actually scored then. But he bounced back from that pretty well. And he's going to be rested. He only played like 10 minutes.
Well, another thing, too, I wanted to throw in is that after that comeback in game five, okay, that's a lot of emotional energy you're spending in that last 3 minutes and then in the overtime. And let's not forget the fact, too, that they played a double overtime game. Now, so did Edmonton. I mean, you can't use that as an excuse because Edmonton was out there for the exact same amount of ice time the Ducks were. But that's a lot of just emotion that you've spent getting to that point and winning that game. I've got to think it's a little bit hard to get it back up again for game six. You should be able to, but I could see where you're kind of like, man, okay, you know, and I don't know. To me, it seems like it would be tough to come back out of me just as fired up again after that miraculous comeback in game five. Maybe that was part of it too. Who knows?
Maybe. I wanted it to be different. I wanted them to just win the stupid game six and move on, but.
Yeah, they don't seem to like to close them out, do they?
No, all the Ducks fans this whole playoff run and in all these games, there hasn't been one where it's been like a comfortable win, really, where it's like, okay, we're fine, this is good. Even the game where we win by 6 goals, we blew a 3-goal lead.
Yeah,
to then win by 3, they don't make it easy. This is just they don't win in blowout fashion. They haven't done it all year. They do what they need to get done at the right times, though, and that's what kind of encouraged me, at least down the stretch and in the first round, was that they did what they needed to do when they had to. They didn't do it in game six. They have an opportunity to do it in game seven and make everyone wrong about them, if that matters anything to them.
So,
and if they win, then they get to play the team that did this to them in the first round last year, so can't wait to deal with... Should the Ducks... break the string. Can't wait to deal with the friggin' Nashville Predators for a best of seven series again.
I think these Preds, well, you know, that's something I wanted to ask about with the Preds. Okay, because here they are. They're in the Western Conference Finals now. And I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago that they are the eighth seed, basically. But didn't you also say that Chicago only had, like, two more regular season wins or regulation wins than the Preds
did? They are technically an eighth seed, but because of the freaky way these playoffs are put together, they're
better. It's not like we're looking at a team that's way down the totem pole from, say, the number one seed.
It's not like they just snuck in or anything like that. Yeah.
Because I tell you what,
they finished, like... 10 or 12 points up on the Kings, who finished in ninth. So they're not bad at all, and before the season, when they got PK Subban and all that, this was a team a lot of people were getting on the bandwagon for being a Stanley Cup finalist, and they had a rough regular season, and it seems like they pulled themselves together at the exact right time, and here they are in their first Western Conference final. Or if you ask NBC Nashville, they're playing in the Stanley Cup finals.
Well, you know, at least they got the Stanley Cup part right. You got to give them that.
Yes.
That's nice.
Caps just scored another one.
2-0 Caps. Maybe we'll get another Game 7. Can the Caps break their
Well, see, that's what worries me so much, is that the Blues started the inevitable march to here we go again by losing to the Preds. And right after that, what happens next? Anaheim blows a Game 6. And now here we are with the Capitals with a chance to force a Game 7. And I don't know. I just feel like the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's like all of a sudden here we are where we are every year.
Well, I mean, the Preds went ahead. They won their series. But how much of that was Lim versus how much of them was just the Blues doing what the Blues do?
Right.
I think the Preds are a good team.
I think they are. But... I don't think the Blues are as good as we thought they were, and that's not to say we thought they were good, but I don't know.
No. The thing that you had was the Preds played pretty good, and Chicago played awful, and then in the first round Minnesota was the better team, quote unquote. But
if they had just scored more goals, they would have won. Obviously, I mean, everybody knows that, right?
They got a great goaltending performance, and that carried a decent team to the next round. And I ultimately, Nashville might be just better than St. Louis was overall. And Jake Allen couldn't keep up his amazing play from the first round.
Yeah,
Nashville's been very, very consistent over the first, where they played now, just 11 games or 10 games.
Yeah, and they've lost, what, two? So I think they're a good team. I think they're solid, and I wouldn't want to play them. I don't care if you're Edmonton or Anaheim. I don't know that they're the team that seems to be the. the group that's riding the wings of destiny right now, if that makes any sense. And I don't know. It's just been a weird playoff to me because I can't believe I'm about to say this, especially when I'm wearing my New York Rangers Liberty jersey, but I kind of want Ottawa to win that series.
Probably will.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just got to a point where I said, you know what? This is great and all, but I mean, let's be honest, the Rangers aren't going to get past the Caps or the Penguins, so why fucking worry about it? Put Ottawa in there and let's go for it. Why not?
Well, I think you pointed out something, Zach, that a lot of people have been bashing the current playoff formula, and to its credit, though, as you pointed out, it's not like the Rangers have made the most out of the relatively easy path that they had.
No.
Yeah. The Rangers got the benefit of not finishing in the Metro Division buzzsaw. Didn't have to play the Penguins, didn't have to play the Caps, didn't even have to play the Blue Jackets. And so they got to play the Canadiens, who were also a 100-point team, ultimately even finished ahead of the Rangers in the standings. But as we had said, the Rangers were locked into where they were for such a long time that they weren't, you know, trying to kill themselves to win every game down the stretch. So they probably could have finished higher than Montreal anyway. And it took them a little bit to get going. And a team that was having trouble scoring goals in Montreal, they still had to beat them in six games. And now they're playing an Ottawa team, which there's still a lot of people that can't explain to me in a concise manner as to how the hell this team is doing is where it is at this point. But
Trap is the best I got.
Yeah, probably. Trap, ending, and timely goal scoring. And they're on the brink against Ottawa. And the Rangers are a team that probably, if you know, based on the pedigree of their division, should probably already be in the conference finals by now.
Mm-hmm.
Should have already punched their ticket, but they're not. And they probably, I don't know if they will.
I've watched this Rangers team, and maybe I'm going to sound like a total homer here, but I really think had the Blue Jackets drawn the Rangers, they would have, I know they wouldn't have gone out in four, or they got swept, right? Or did they win one of the games? They won
one.
They won one.
Yeah, because they finally won their first playoff game at home. But I don't know if they would have beaten the Rangers, but I know they would have put up a hell of a fight. Because the Rangers, they just don't impress me. I don't know how else to put it. Yeah, I look at any of those guys, you've got Lundqvist, and that's great. But after that, who scares you to death on that team? Rick Nash? Come on.
Again, you know, with the Blue Jackets, if they had drawn the Rangers, then at the very least they wouldn't have been playing the Penguins, and then maybe the Blue Jackets could have actually focused on winning the game and not hurting people.
Right, that too. But I don't know. The Rangers, it's just like, okay, I don't want them. I mean, look, if I thought they had a chance and they were fun to watch, I'd say sure, but they're kind of boring. They're not going to win the cup. Who are we trying to kid here? So let's give Ottawa a shot at it. That's the way I feel about it.
Sure.
I mean,
I'm not going to be upset if the Rangers win. I guess I shouldn't say I want Ottawa to win, but it's not going to break my heart if the Rangers lose this series is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, it's a situation where neither of these teams are getting anywhere. The winner of the Caps series, I think, is going to represent the East in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Barring something crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I think no matter what, I'm not interested in the Eastern Conference Final because it's either the Penguins are going to roll the Rangers or Senators, or say the Capitals do get through and good for them, and then you have the subplot of, well, can the Capitals finally get to the Stanley Cup Final? But it's like they've played the Rangers 100 goddamn times. I just don't care about another Caps Rangers series. And Capital versus Capital is cool, I guess.
If the Capitals are there, I'm going to be very interested because I want to see them finally get over the hump again.
But in terms of like hockey X's and O's type thing, the Western Conference is going to have the better series of it.
Absolutely. I have no argument there. I think that Ottawa, I don't know. I can't explain Ottawa either. I watched a good portion of that game. I'm like, I don't get it. It's just
no, I don't either. I mean, I'm with Zach in that I watched that Ottawa Boston series. Just came away with it going, these two teams suck.
Well, that's kind of how I feel. Like, I just don't think that you could ever make an argument that the Rangers or the Sens are on the same level as the Capitals and Penguins are in this conference. So I just don't buy.
They're not.
Well, what Ottawa does is like they have the puck, they play for 5 or 10 minutes, and then, oh, hey, they scored. You don't know how, they just, somehow or another, hey, a goal got scored.
Well,
break it down as the why, but hey, the puck's in the net.
When I was watching the game the other day, I said, oh, there's the other guy. There's the other guy besides Erik Karlsson. And damn, I can't even remember who it was now. Like the other player that, you know, the other guy that's actually.
I mean, Dion Phaneuf is on defense, but he's.
Yeah,
garbage.
But that's not who I'm talking about.
Bobby Ryan.
No.
Kyle Turris.
No. Keep going.
Hoffman.
Mark Stone.
No. Oh, maybe I didn't. Maybe I didn't realize there was another player.
Craig Anderson in net?
No, I know about Anderson in net. I'm usually pretty good with the goalies. Jesus. Who the hell?
Jean-Gabriel Pageau's the guy that scored four goals.
Maybe
that
was it. Maybe it was Pageau I was thinking of.
But he's not like.
No, it was.
Those guys scores in the playoffs occasionally.
Hold on a minute here. Now I'm going to have to look because.
Yeah, but let's like we do with every other team. Let's name the Ottawa Senators.
Well, okay, you got Karlsson, you got Anderson, and you got Dion Phaneuf, and you've got the other guy you just brought up that. Pageau. And that's about it for me.
Yeah, hold on.
And I couldn't have named those. I could have given you two of those 5 minutes ago, not four. All right, let's see here. Team roster.
Ottawa Senators roster.
Yeah, it wasn't Derek Brassard. No.
Alexander Burrows is garbage at this point in his career. Ryan DeZingle is a funny name to say. Chris Kelly, Clark MacArthur, Chris Neal.
Maybe it was Turris. Has he done anything in this series?
He scored the overtime winner the other day.
Maybe it was him. I don't remember. Well, here are these are the playoff stats.
They have Jyrki Joukkopaka on defense, which is always again fun to say.
Daniel Alfredsson.
Didn't he play for them in the '90s?
'90s and 2000s. I mostly remember
That's the Alexei Yashin. What's his name? Alexander Daig or whatever his name was. That's that team. Yeah.
I just remember Daniel Alfredsson always looking like he was on the verge of tears every time the Maple Leafs eliminated them in the early 2000s.
I wish the Maple Leafs were still in this because they. I mean, granted, they weren't as talented, but they were freaking exciting, man.
Yeah, they were fun.
Like Edmonton is. I mean, I don't know if Edmonton's better than Anaheim, but they're fun to watch. And that's the thing.
The other takeaway, you know, no matter what happens with Wednesday night's Game 7, I am scared to death of how quickly the Ducks are going to fall from the top of this division and be dominated by the Oilers for the next, like, 5 years.
That's going to be a good club, man.
That team is going to run the Western Conference for the next 5 years.
Well, McDavid didn't even put a point on the board in that game yesterday, did he?
No, that was the other dumb thing.
It's yeah.
The Oilers score seven goals on you, and McDavid doesn't actually register a point.
That would be depressing as hell to me. It's like we let the other guys do this to us, and he didn't even have a role in it. Really,
kind of reminds me of a story from our good friend Pierre McGuire back when he was coaching the Whalers of Hartford.
Yeah, back when I was a coach of the Hartford Whalers, playing the Hartford Civic Center, played Bash Bonanza.
And
we had a bunch of guys from Western Ontario playing in the Western Junior League, played for the Brandon Wheat Kings, good player.
Brandon Wheat Kings, by the way.
Salami sandwiches.
By the way, have the best name in hockey. But there was a story going around where back when he was coaching the Whalers, they were playing the Mario Lemieux Penguins. And he bragged before the game that he had devised a way to keep Mario Lemieux off the score sheet. And the Penguins ended up winning something like 6-1, but the Mew technically didn't get a point. So,
well, hey, it worked.
Mission accomplished.
Right, yeah.
See, that's the thing about hockey is, like, you know, when we compare it to the NBA series, I turned on SportsCenter yesterday because I was flipping over to the 18-inning game the Cubs played just because it was, like, ridiculous. And then when I switched back, the game had been over, and SportsCenter came on and they did some highlights. After the game, it was more like they were talking about basically how the Cavaliers won the series. It was more, well, LeBron with another sweep moving on to the next round.
Yeah.
Yes, LeBron James by himself swept the Raptors.
Yeah, because he's one out of five guys, whereas hockey, your best players are only going to play at the most maybe a third of the game. Mm-hmm.
I really have tried to watch the NBA playoffs, but it's just that sense of inevitability that you think, why am I bothering?
I fully came to realize the scope of the inevitability this year because there are two teams that I consider myself a fan of in the NBA. The Toronto Raptors and the Utah Jazz. I like the Jazz going back to 97.
I
was pulling for the Raptors, was pulling for the Jazz. And what happens in the second round? Well, in the East, you have Toronto going up against Cleveland, and in the West, Utah runs into Golden State. And it's just like, well, what do you know?
Right.
it kind of called back to that Super Bowl analogy of the Patriots. It's like both of these series feel like I'm being stalked by a Terminator.
Yeah. No, with the NBA, it's why don't bother until the conference finals, really. It's actually kind of funny. With the way the playoffs have worked, at least this year with the NBA and the NHL, they're almost inverses of each other. Like, you want to watch the entirety of the first round of the NHL playoffs, but don't give a damn about the NBA.
There is absolutely no point to watching the first round of the NBA playoffs. We've had one time in all of recorded history that I know of, since they've had an 8 seed, where an 8 seed actually beat a 1 seed in the NBA playoffs. And that was way back in, I don't even know what year it was, when I think it was the Nuggets knocked off the Supersonics. And that's been
the only upset I can think of is I guess it wasn't 8-1, maybe it was like a 7-2, was when the Warriors beat the Mavericks that one
right
year.
That was good.
Yeah, back when the Warriors sucked.
Yeah
the Derek Fisher Warriors,
when they were wearing like the stupid lightning bolt uniforms.
But those are, okay, we're talking like, let's just for the sake of argument, let's say since the turn of the century, 2000, 17 years, and we've got 2 series, and I'm not so sure that those series didn't take place in the 90s, but we'll say in the last 30 years, twice. Now, look at the NHL and the playoffs in the first. I'll even throw the NFL in there, and baseball, too. We've had plenty of upsets, but never ever in the NBA.
Baseball has the added thing of now, because we have the wild card game.
But even before that, you had wild card teams knocking off number one seeds. So, and granted, there aren't nearly as many baseball teams in the playoffs, but you got the teams like a Packers team. The last time they won the Super Bowl, they were the wild card, won a 3-game tear in the playoffs.
The first year the Giants won, they were wild card all the way. Steelers wild card all the way.
In the NBA, it's hopeless. It's just, you just know it's not going to happen. So why am I mean, other than to maybe say, okay, I want to watch and see if LeBron can score 50 tonight.
Yeah.
Or if.
I know. We've talked about this plenty of times. It's like, if you're. Honest to God, like, I know the Milwaukee Bucks had, like, put together a young, talented roster, and they took a couple games from the Raptors or whatever. But why in the world would I waste my time to be a Milwaukee Bucks fan or a Denver Nuggets fan or any of these middle of the road teams that occasionally make the playoffs here and there, win a round? They're just, it's never going to matter.
I'll
even go a step further. I'm starting to wonder, what's the point of even being a Toronto Raptors fan? The Raptors have built a pretty solid couple of seasons now, where they have consistently been, you know, number two, number three in the East. And I have now just kind of, it's kind of dawning on me that this team will never beat the Cavaliers. That the ceiling for this Toronto Raptors team, as good as they are, will always be, well, the Cavaliers need to beat someone on the way to the finals, so I guess it's Toronto.
Yeah, and if, you know, if Toronto was on the other side of the bracket, maybe it's they go back to the Eastern Conference Finals again, but that's as far as you go. Eastern Conference Finals or bust.
Really? Yeah. You're doing one of two things. You're waiting for the team to get old, which is kind of like, say, what happened with the early 2000s Lakers, or they move along or whatever, or you're hoping that LeBron breaks his leg. Those are your options.
Yeah, the Houston Rockets of the 90s.
Right, or Michael Jordan retires, and that's how they won 2 championships. You know, we talked at the top of the show about my old radio days. I just want to throw this in really quick.
Yeah.
When the Rockets won that second championship, the guy I was hosting a show with back then said, we have to talk about them as one of the greatest teams of all time now. And I said, are you out of your fucking mind? I didn't say the fucking part, because obviously I was on regular radio, but I said, you can't be serious about this. And he was just out, because they'd won 2 in a row. It didn't matter that they would have never even gotten a sniff of those 2 titles if Jordan had still been in the league. But nope. And okay, fine, whatever. But anyway, back to what we were talking about.
And the thing now, too, is that, like, you have your Jordan in LeBron, who's always going to be there until, like you said, he gets old. But then say you're in the East and LeBron finally does go away. Well, great. We finally got through. We're going to make it to the NBA Finals. Who do we play? Well, the Warriors.
Right.
And everybody that they have. Because, you know, whether they're still young at this point. You know, you're gonna Steph Curry's gonna be there for a long time. Draymond Green's gonna be there for a while. Klay Thompson too. Maybe it has to break up if they all want their money eventually, which happens. But you know, you have a super team on either side of the bracket, and you just have to be lucky.
Injuries or, you know, miracle on ice level of upset has to take place, or we already know what's going to happen. And it's not just us, because if you listen to other talk shows, other podcasts, we're all just waiting. Can the Cavs beat the Warriors again? Like, it's just a foregone conclusion. And that, to me, is just not very interesting. The first round of the NHL playoffs were awesome because it was, you know, two games going at all times, whatever. I don't remember.
19 overtime games or whatever.
Yeah, you don't look at it. I mean, you probably knew Columbus wasn't going to beat Pittsburgh, but it wasn't like they didn't have a chance. It wasn't like it was absolutely impossible. If Bobrovsky gets hot and, you know, a couple things go their way, they're in it, you know, or the Maple Leafs.
I didn't think the Maple Leafs had a shot against the Capitals going in, but after a couple games, you're like, holy shit, they're actually doing it.
None of that happened in the NBA. The closest I can come is that I guess Washington finally tied it up with Boston, and that series is 2-2 now. And I would love to see the Bullets or the Wizards. Excuse me. Wow.
Well, they're the Wizards, but they dress like the Bullets now.
Yeah, I love their those stars and stripes alts that they wear. Those are sharp, man. But it's just a waste of time, really. So you watch hockey, and I'm far more interested in the Orioles National Series that's taking place this week than I am in anything going on in the NBA. I don't know. It's just one of those things. But did we talk about the we got the Purds are already in. We talked about the Ducks. I think we got the hockey pretty well covered, right? Other than the Caps Pens.
Well, that's still sitting at 2-0, but I don't know if this Penguins team, I don't think a 2-goal lead is necessary.
I'm not making plans for game 7 just yet if I'm a Caps fan. I'm just saying. You know, put about 5 more on the board and we'll talk.
Yeah, no, we pretty much got all that down and touched on the association.
I would love to talk about it. I'm sure that there are people that listen to our show that go, I wish they'd talk more NBA.
Yeah, fine. I'm sure there's
tell us what to talk about.
You got the interesting Celtics Wizards series. It looks interesting, but I haven't watched any of it. But like,
I want to say that when the Wizards tied it up, it was a 21 point win. The Wizards tying it up, so it wasn't even an exciting game to tie the series. It was just a blowout.
They had like a 26-0 run in the third quarter at some point.
And apparently, the Spurs are having trouble with the Rockets.
Yeah, that's the only other one.
Yeah, but that's not surprising to me. I think I even picked the Rockets to win that series when we did our playoff preview.
Yeah, it's just, you know. And the other thing is we just don't watch it.
I really do. I do. I put it on and I try to make the effort. But
I watched almost every Raptors playoff game that I could catch. I caught as many Jazz games as I remember to catch. But seeing both of them get just steamrolled in the second round just really...
Well, talking about the Warriors, right? And talking about the Warriors for a second, let's say that Steph Curry at the end of his contract moves on. They're still going to have Durant and Draymond Green and Thompson and Iguodala are most likely still going to be there. Does it even hurt them that much, or do you bring in a shooting guard that's more of a team player and turn Durant loose and Thompson loose? And I mean, I don't see that it makes a bit of difference.
I don't know. NBA free agency doesn't exactly excite me anymore either, because there's only a couple teams that are ever in it.
Right.
As far as, like, you know, who's going to go where, because these guys either lock themselves up with long-term deals on their current teams because they're good and they don't want to go anywhere, or it's, you know, the same old, same old. And really it's, I don't know. It's hard. Cause you say like, well, maybe you need the Lakers to come back and you'll be interested. Maybe, but it's, At any given point in the NBA, there's only like four teams that are capable of winning, maybe four.
Yeah, I'd say you've got
like three.
You've got two that are, you know, 1-to-1 odds. Like, okay, they can do it. You got two other ones that you go, maybe if this goes the right way, they can do it. And then everybody else, it's like I said, injuries and miracles, and that's it.
Yeah, like right now, this season in particular, Cavs Warriors. 100%. Maybe the Rockets can beat the Warriors. The Spurs are always up there. but they're finally breaking down after a certain point.
If the Spurs are having this much trouble against the Rockets, and there's no way they're gonna do anything against the Warriors.
I think the Warriors, their worst enemy is themselves. I mean, if one of them decides to get pissed off about not getting enough touches in a night or whatever, that could throw off the mix. But other than that, I don't see how you stop them. Everybody's like, oh, the Cavs play them again. I don't want to play them again. I'd rather see Houston win, to be honest.
And the other thing is, like, with the Warriors, if they do win, the story is going to be, well, Kevin Durant gets his first title. Is anybody going to be really that excited about that?
No, because he did it in a stupid way.
And they'll be just as excited as LeBron getting his first one with Miami. It will be cheap.
Or it'll be like when Karl Malone went to the Lakers. It's like, come on, don't do it like that.
I think when LeBron won the first one with Miami, I think it's a little different, only because they did get there the year before
and
lost.
Yeah.
So then it was like, well, can he win? And then he finally did. It's like,
I would say that LeBron's even a tad more legit because they, you know, I don't know how you want to put it.
They relied on LeBron a little bit more, I think, too. He was still the best player on those teams. Where Durant, might be number two.
Yeah, and Durant kind of showed up with a ready-made team they're waiting for. And the Miami guys, they kind of worked together to put that whole thing together. And they didn't have – there was no Andre Iguodala on those Heat teams. There was no there was no Klay Thompson. There was no Draymond Green on those teams. It was LeBron, Bosh, Wade, and a bunch of guys that you've never heard of. Or they were so far past their prime it wasn't funny. This is just a different situation. No one's going to give a shit. I wouldn't even – maybe I'm wrong because, I mean, it's easy for me to say this because I'm not in the position, but – I don't know that I would want a ring the way Durant's going to get one if he gets one this year. I don't think I'd like that. I want to earn it a little bit more. Kind of like LeBron did. I mean, his ring with the Cavs means a lot more than the ones with the Heat do. I guarantee.
Well, I mean, you just look at it. Like you look at how LeBron reacted after winning his rings with the Heat, and you know, he was obviously excited. But then you look at, you know, when he won with Cleveland, and he was crying.
Yeah.
It was no secret which one meant more to him.
Not only that, but, you know, the coming back and beating a team that had won 73 games after being down 3-1 and all. I mean, all of that, yeah, it's just but the thing is that we're never going to have this conversation about, I don't know, like, who your number one player is on the Raptors, Mike.
Kyle Lowry.
You know, we're not having this conversation about Kyle Lowry. We're not going to have this conversation about John Wall, more likely than not. We're not going to have this conversation about the kid that plays for the Jazz. What's his name?
Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, I mean, we're never going to have these conversations about which ring of his was the best or which, because it's just probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, the Jazz have a very easy solution to turn that around. They just need to get John Stockton out of retirement.
Those short shorts, right?
Yeah.
We might have been able to say about the Wizards, because here's the other thing: is like, in the offseason, when it was Kevin Durant trying to pick where to go, supposedly it was either the Wizards, because he's from Virginia, and that was like his hometown team where he could have gone to, or the Warriors. Now, if he had gone to the Wizards and played with John Wall, then you have something that you can maybe do.
Yeah, and I think that team would have been good enough to pull it off too with him on that team. Instead, I really believe that.
Instead, he says, "No, I'm just going to go back to the Warriors and get my guaranteed ring."
Yeah, well, like,
right, fine. He, like, when he, in the bits that I've seen him, not that he's ever the most emotional guy as it was, but he doesn't look. It's not that he doesn't look thrilled. It's just like, yeah, okay, I'm here. We're winning. This is nice.
Yeah, I still don't understand that move. I will say this though, with the NBA, if they break up the Clippers, and they probably will, you know, you're going to have Blake Griffin out there, you know, and DeAndre Jordan, two pretty good players. I'm just saying, look, it probably won't happen, but let's just say for the sake of argument that both Jordan and Griffin decide to pull a Wade, LeBron, Bosch deal. Let's go play with Westbrook in Oklahoma City. That's a really good team. Because they're already pretty good. But there's a lot of – a few things could happen. I mean, if DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin are both available and decide, okay, we're going to do this, the big three thing with somebody, they could change the dynamic pretty quick. is what I'm saying.
I'm thinking all those former Clippers players go to the Lakers, and then the Lakers somehow manage to get over the hump and like win the whole damn thing.
So one of my favorite traditions every year is the WHL Junior Hockey League Bantam Draft. It takes place, you know, Western Canada. Their finest 13-year-olds or so get drafted and sent off to the prairies to go continue their hockey careers. But that's
get those good Canadian boys that Don Cherry can be proud of in, you know, 6 years.
But the thing that really stands out here is the names. Some of them are weird, but they're not as weird as others. But like, there's a kid that they ranked him dead last. His name is Anthony Williams. Like, that's not good enough.
That's wrong with that name.
No, nothing there. But all right. So let's see. We got a Stanley, which is fine. Campbell, Jackson, Raphael.
You don't hear a lot of Raphaels in the National Hockey League.
No. That's not a very Western Canadian name.
Hey, a lot of them in baseball, but not too many in hockey.
How about Ethan Ironside?
That's made up, right?
Jace Isley, J-A-C-E, Jace.
Isley?
Isley.
He had no choice but to play hockey. With that name. Yeah. Or be a villain in a Batman movie or the X-Men or something.
Hendrik de Klerk.
He was the president of South Africa during apartheid, I believe.
Hale, get that. Hale Shonek. Hale, H-A-L-E, Hale.
Well, now think about that, though, when he scores a goal. Come on.
The hackNHL.com headlines are already writing themselves.
Yeah.
Ryder Korzak, R-Y-D-E-R, Korzak.
Sounds like a car brand. New for 2018 from Toyota, the Ryder Korzak. Get yours in a variety of colors.
Cross Hannes.
Cross Hannes?
Cross.
I'm going to bet that his family's religious, like those ones that name their kids Nevaeh because it's heaven spelled backwards. Yeah.
Garen Bjorklund.
Lead guitarist for the Swedish rock group. I don't know any Swedish rock groups.
True Crow.
Oh, come on now.
T-R-U-E.
That's a band.
T-R-O-W-E.
That is awesome. That dude's got to make the NHL. True Crow.
True Crow.
Now they're eating crow. I mean, the headlines are writing themselves here.
I'm pretty sure he was Sting's tag team partner in WCW.
Or like you said, it's a band name.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, True Crow with the Jalen Icebucket or whatever his fucking name was on lead guitar.
Scout Truman. Scout.
Oh, come on. Now, Scout Truman and True Crow have to get together and do something. I don't care what, but they have to do it together.
Masson Ziola.
Now we're talking.
M-A-S-S-E-N Ziola, Z-I-O-L-A.
I need to correct you there, Zach. It's actually Zed, because these good Canadian boys.
Sorry about that one.
You keep that in mind, eh?
Talon Boyko.
That last name sounds like something that NHL 2004 spits out at you if you've been playing franchise mode for
too
long.
Oh my god. You know, it was one of the MLB The Show games, and one of the creative players they had on a minor league team is, I'm not kidding you, his name was like Mohammed Weisberg. I swear to god, I'm not making that up. And I don't have the names exactly right, but it was something so clearly Arab and something so clearly Jewish, and they put the two together and I thought somebody's having some fun here or what, but it was like Mohammed Weisberg.
Only a few left. Two of them I want you to spell. Here's the first one.
Okay.
How would you go about spelling the name Jackson?
J-A-Y-S-K-O-N. No, wait.
Mike?
I'm just going to go with the proper spelling, J-A-C-K-O-N.
Oh, see, you're both wrong.
S-O-N.
J-A-X-S-E-N.
Like the abbreviation for the Jaguars on the score bug?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have another Aiden de la Gorgondier.
I'm pretty sure that last name qualifies him to be the villain on a Spanish soap opera.
Now the last one here. His last name is Plummer, regular spelling.
Mm-hmm.
His first name is pronounced Cruz. Please spell Cruz.
K-H.
K-H.
R-O-O-Z.
C-R-U-Z.
Mike, you're kind of the closest. It's K-R-Z.
That's not a name.
No.
That's not a word.
That's a radio station.
K-R-Z. Cruz.
That's not how the English language... You need vowels.
His name is Cruz.
There's no... You need a U. You, I'd even accept an O. You need a vowel.
Oh.
Those are just three consonants.
KRZ, it's a radio station. Coming up later today, we're going to have Frank Fleming, Frankie Midnight, on KRZ Sports Radio.
Yeah,
Frankie on the ledge on KRZ. Oh, look at him go. He's acting crazy now. Here we go. Here we go. This is going to be crazy radio. Here we go. Here we go. Uh-oh, look out. Fucking morons. All right, sorry. Go ahead, Zach.
I mean, if you want to rile Frank up, you just need to know which politicians he doesn't like.
Right.
That's all you need to do.
You guys don't even know what he's like riled up. Please.
Just ask him about the Mets.
Yeah, I mean.
Ask him about the Mets or Obama. There you go.
Ask him about Matt Harvey's dildo. See what happens.
Oh, what the fuck is going on with Matt Harvey, too? Jeez, dude. Anyway,
man.
That's for next week, I suppose. But anyway,
but
that's
going
to wrap it up here on KRZ.
I realize this is mean because the kid didn't pick his name, but I hope he never wins the Stanley Cup because I don't want
people. You know, in 30 years, they're going to be going. They're going to be going. They misspelled his name. Everybody,
yeah, exactly.
They misspelled his name.
Yeah.
Look, right here in the year 2035, when the Vegas placeholder hockey team won the Stanley Cup, they misspelled Cruz's name. They left out the U. So on that note, Zach, good luck tomorrow with your Ducks.
Yep. If I'm not on the show next week, everyone will know why. It's because I am, you know, just incoherent in a pool of whiskey. Just, I still haven't come out of Wednesday yet.
And you can follow us, as always, on Twitter at Basically Sports. You can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, YouTube, and find us on Facebook. And I think that'll do it. We'll see you next time.
Later.
Later.